It's time for Blindly Obvious.
Hello and welcome to Blindly Obvious. I'm Tyler with my co-host Jeff. And today we are talking the conversation of assets and liabilities.
What'd you call me?
Well, you know what you are. Not only though, in terms of, you know, when you think of assets or liabilities, I think we think of more of physical assets or liabilities, things that are maybe making us financial gain or costing us financial progress. But how about an accounting of maybe, are you an asset or a liability in a personal standpoint? Jeff?
Personal audits. Man, the IRS comes, knocks on the door. No one likes those calls, right? I never had one. But woof, that'd be rough, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, they got a bunch of new agents.
That's what I'm hearing. I hear they're after certain kind of people. And we're not talking...
I hope they knock on your door.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Yeah.
They'll be disappointed. I got good records. But no, the personal evaluation is just as uncomfortable as sitting down in front of your boss and letting them evaluate you. If you do it honestly. And that's a tough one. You know, it's easy to talk about in your life what is your most valuable asset and maybe what your greatest liability is. But when you think about your relationships and that every relationship is either that, an asset or a liability, the biggest question is, what are you to others? When you walk in, are people rolling their eyes going, oh no.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Or, hey, I don't know, man. I can't even tell you that.
I walked right into that.
Yeah, you did.
Or are they so glad you're there?
You know, probably a mixed bag.
I guess it would probably change depending on the person, right?
Yeah. Well, sometimes you're like sandpaper, and other times you're like a my pillow.
Wait, is this an evaluation of me or you?
Maybe both of us. I don't know.
That is an accurate description. I can be very comfy and cozy, and other times I'm like Brillo pad.
You've
man.
Been known to rub others the wrong way.
Yes, but I didn't set out to. It just happened.
It just happened. It's not even my fault.
Well, I didn't say that.
I was going to say, that doesn't sound very accountable.
It wasn't my intention. I didn't set out to have that conversation, but it needed to happen. You know what? This is a good illustration. We were at the parade on Saturday. And we were walking, and of course, the driver said, hey, watch out for the trailer. Don't get between the truck and the trailer, because I can't see you, and I don't want to run you over. That'd be bad.
So where do you end up?
Well, I'm on the side. Everyone's on the side. I wasn't in the float. Wish I had been, because it was a lot of walking. But one of the things we were doing... Yeah, it was very hot. We were passing out those life books, and you had to reach into the trailer next to that wheel to get those life books to pass them out, which was kind of dangerous every time you did it because you almost got ran over every single time with that tire. And this young teenager was helping us, and I wanted to warn her because I saw she had less than an inch where her foot almost got ran over.
Eve.
Yeah, and of course, you got to wait for that thing to roll over. By the time you yell stop, it's already happened. You know what I mean? So it's not like you can... The best you can do is warn her. And then I said to Melanie, I said, you know, it's not my place though. I wanted to say something, but I pulled myself back and said, it's not my place. That's for her mother to do.
Mm.
Her mom was there.
Oh, all right.
And so I instantly felt guilt. And I said, that is the way the world talks. That is exactly how the world talks. And here I am espousing it because it is my place. I've just let the world tell me it's not. When is it never your place to speak up for someone, to give them the best benefit? Why would you withhold good information and in so doing jeopardize a life or safety?
Mm.
Does that make sense? It was like, oh my gosh.
Did you save her foot?
I didn't tell her. This was all recounting my point. That's why I felt such guilt, because I should have spoke up and I took the easy way out, which is why often in conversations, I break taboo and act as the sandpaper.
She could have been footloose.
Right, man. She couldn't have done the dance. You know, it all worked out. No one got hurt, but it made me stop and do an audit. You know, am I doing this in other areas of my life where I should be speaking up, but I don't, to save face or to not be perceived as a bad guy because people are doing things they shouldn't be doing. And, you know, I'm going to be the bad guy that points it out.
I kind of feel like I'm somewhere in the middle on that.
Well, do tell.
I mean, I feel like just sometimes if something grinds my gears, I'll probably say something about it. But I also do the that's not for me to concern myself with.
If it rubs you.
Yeah, I feel like if it rubs me the wrong way first, then I'm about it. But I'm not always in the camp of got to do it either.
You know, it's easy to say, I got a rock in my shoe, and take your shoe off and take it out.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's a rock in somebody else's shoe, or you're like, hey, let me help you.
Yeah.
And that's it, right? Because mm-hmm. it's not causing you discomfort.
Right.
And mm-hmm. and that's where it gets hard, because it gets sticky, especially some subject matters, right? And people are so sensitive. Holy cow. So back to that whole thing with that, do people see you as an asset or a liability? You know, what would you say in your relationships you bring to the table that they appreciate? That like you walk into like, man, Tyler is X, Y, and Z.
I feel like I have a good ability to be a good listener, and I really can talk to anyone, I think. And I kind of feel like I know a little bit about a lot of things, so I could pretty much conversate with somebody about anything. And I mean, I hope I'm a good giver of reasonable advice, I guess. I guess those would probably be my greatest assets, I think, is a good communicator.
Yeah.
How about yourself?
I'd like to think, I don't know for a fact. I've never really asked people, but I would like to think that I bring energy. I bring...
that's a good one.
A lightness to even difficult situations. I'd like to think that I'm dependable, that especially in a situation where you know you need somebody and you called me, I'd be there.
That's you know, fair.
Reliable.
I also think I'm usually good for a one-liner.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I don't know that you even think. They just come out of you. You know?
They do.
Like you're breathing. You know, oh, there's Tyler again.
Yep.
You do lighten situations in that way. Do you have a filter?
I've developed a little bit more of one, but I didn't really used to have one.
Because that's the only way I can conclude, as fast as you pull those out, you must not have a filter.
I have more than I used to.
Because that is the cost of being comic relief is every once in a while you throw one out, you're like, ooh, I wish I could pull that one back.
That might have been a bit much. Might have been a bit much.
I used to be that way. And like I've told you when we first met, I share maybe 5% of what I think about because I don't want to be offensive. But anyway, no, I would like to think those things, but I don't know for sure. I'd like to think I'm known for being a truth teller.
I think you're pretty politically correct myself.
You think so? Yeah, really? Are you being sarcastic? PC. Am I PC?
Oh, goodness.
I don't feel like I am.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like I feel like I crossed the line so many times.
Is that a rainbow on your shirt?
I'll tell you what.
What are those letters on your hat?
I gotta say this. I've got these. I'm so cheap. I bought this 5-pack of reading glasses on Amazon, and it came with all these different colors. And the only reason why I bought it was because it was cheap. Hold on. It's got purple glasses.
And oh, my daughter would love those.
Let me tell you, today with purple, it does have a meaning sometimes tied to it. And they're my junk glasses. I'm sorry, I'm laughing too hard. I'm sweating. I'm laughing so hard. They're my junk glasses. And, you know, I wear them in the garage, whatever else. But sometimes I can't remember where I put my good glasses. So I'll wear these in public and I forget I'm wearing them. And people who know me look at me and go, why are you wearing purple
glasses? Nice purple glasses. Those are really cool.
Like, are you trying to make a statement? And it's just like, listen, I couldn't find my other glasses.
Nah, I guess that's no different than me. I always show up in these bright highlighter colored shirts.
Oh,
so.
Gosh. Well, you don't get missed, right?
Yeah, that's right. Well, everybody needs to know where I'm at.
That's right, because you can't see them.
Oh, there. My wife says, oh, there's my traffic cone. I need to get over there and get them.
I'm sweating, man. That's so funny. But no, I don't feel PC. I feel like I'm the bad guy walking around the kid's birthday party and I'm popping all the kids' balloons.
That might be you. You're right. That probably is more like you.
I do feel like I feel like I often am shattering people's paradigm.
Mm.
And I don't want to be that person.
Well, somebody else did that.
Well, yeah, like he did, didn't he?
A couple thousand years ago. Yeah. He was a shatterer of paradigms.
He is my hero, you know, absolutely. Mm. How about this one? This is a tough one. Liabilities. You know, what are your traits that you think
could be better served without?
Yeah. That's a good way to put it. If you could drop this off at the curb, what would it be?
Mm. I would say I feel like I've improved on this, but I feel like I get a hot head kind of sometimes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, like I want to.
That's exactly what I was thinking for me, right? Yeah, for you, for me.
The kind of, you know, that you just want to. I think you've given this analogy before about pouring the gasoline on the fire that was started.
Yeah.
I feel like I kind of, I got that that feeling quite often.
It's almost like you're begging the neighbors, hey, can I borrow your gas cans because mine aren't enough?
Yeah, or just, I have that, like the feeling of someone gets one over on you and you're just supposed to let it go and, you know, let God handle the situation. I have a hard time with that. And like in terms of, well, I'm not going to let you just have one over on me and be done with it. Like, I want to even up the score. So I think that's a quality I certainly could use more improvement upon. I'm not the most patient. So I think, I think that's a skill also I've improved on compared to where I once was, but I've still also got a long way to go.
Well, I think the patience and the hot temper go hand in hand.
That's
I mean,
fair.
The reason why you have a hot temper is because you lack patience. And I only know that because I'm in the same boat, right? I will say that coming to Christ and learning from him drastically improved that. It's one of those things where I heard someone say it this way, you got to keep anger on a leash and you can never turn it loose.
Hey, we did a podcast about that.
Yeah. And that's a long time ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
How long ago was that one? But that's it. You've got to keep it on a leash because nothing good's going to come of it when you let it go. Maybe the only time you turn it loose is if someone broke in your house, right? That'd be about it.
It's the junkyard dog.
I'm telling you. And I think everyone's got one. It's just some people have a Chihuahua and some of us have a giant Rottweiler or something, you know, with rabies. So, but no, I concur. I think that is a big one for men, though. But listen, I think even for women, I've seen some women that are scary with anger and rage.
Go look out.
Yep. So, well, I think that's...
And they've always got that husband that's just like, I'm not going to make her mad.
No, eggshells.
Oh, no. Yeah. Have you guys seen what she's like? Oh, no, thank you.
She knows where I sleep. Well, I think it's one of those things all of us need to look at and do an audit. And it's easy for us to try and look at other people and judge and assess, but assess yourself because all that you'll do is benefit because you can improve, right?
Aren't you supposed to fix the, what is that?
That's the plank in your
eye before the speck in someone else?
Stop obsessing about the stain on your neighbor's shirt and wipe that garbage off your face you left off from your last meal, right?
I probably got some hot sauce on my shirt.
It's so easy to judge others, and really that judgment should be reserved for yourself. And it's all about self-improvement and growth, right? You know, we're in the middle of summer, and I was on the way here, and that's where I had this idea, and I was thinking about all the growth. Beautiful, all these giant corn rolls and the wheat, and I'm thinking, you know, there are seasons of growth. Growth comes from discomfort. Somebody had to labor for that. And if you want to grow, it's no different. You have to labor for that. So check yourself out so you can grow.
It's a fair point. Yeah. Makes for a plentiful harvest.
That's it, though. And you can't, you know, reap what you didn't sow.
As always, this has been Blindly Obvious. If we can see it, you can see it too. You can visit our website at www.blindlyobvious.com, where you can catch up on past episodes, as well as learn a little bit about us. We are so happy that you're here and hope these are just the conversations you've been looking for. Peace, love, and God bless. If you like what you've heard, please share the word. And remember, eyes mean nothing if the mind is blind.
It's Blindly Obvious, baby.